welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
We're going to go ahead, though, and start this morning in a passage of Scripture. Actually, we're going to take a look at a couple passages of Scriptures together and just take a look at the relationship between them. But Proverbs chapter 3, in verses 13 through 15, it says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her." Now, keep in mind, he's talking about, you know, finding wisdom and understanding. He's personifying it. And he goes on. "Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." This is really beautiful. It's really powerful, and it really shows the importance and the value that the Scripture puts on wisdom and understanding, and the promises that wisdom and understanding can bring us when we embrace the truth of God's guidance, wisdom, word. And you look at the things here, a lot of times these are the things that we try to crave or we go after in our own strength, in our own ability, after we're trying to seek after these things. And, you know, wisdom and understanding gives us treasure that's better than gold and silver, more precious than rubies. And I love that phrase, "All things you may desire can't compare with her." That's pretty powerful stuff. What is it that I'm going after that can compare with supernatural wisdom and understanding? There's nothing that can compare. Nothing I desire can compare with that wisdom, that understanding of God. So kind of take that personification of wisdom and understanding, and we're going to put it next to another passage of Scripture. And this is something that Jesus said about his own word. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, when we think of what Jesus said here in context with what the proverb writer just got done saying about expounding the glory of wisdom and understanding, he said, "If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." In other words, you've got the word in you, but you're staying with it until you know it in a way that makes you free. That word "know" is an intimate word. It's used in many different contexts. But here he's talking about knowing the word. He's talking about an intimacy with the word. And you can hear the language of intimacy as it relates to wisdom and understanding, the way the Proverbs writer speaks about wisdom and understanding. It's like this romance with wisdom and understanding, this relationship. And Jesus kind of carries that idea forward. You take those words and you esteem those words in a way that when you do, something conceives and it brings forth something, that you know something. In other words, you're going to start out knowing that about something, a truth, but that truth gets so real to you that the revelation of that truth is what makes you free. You know, it's kind of the way it is. When you first hear something, it's kind of like, cool, yeah, that sounds good, that sounds right. But you continue in it, you go, oh my goodness, that is true. It goes from cool to real, and it's the real that makes you free. There's a relationship that you have there. So that's where we're going this morning. I'm simply going to minister along the lines of this morning, a relationship with words. God gives us words to hold on to. He gives us words to cherish. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God has given us His Word to know, to continue in, and to understand. And so I'm going to talk about, again this morning, a relationship with words. And let me just say, big picture, my heart, my agenda, motivation, is to inspire, instill a culture in your own heart, in your own life, with the Word of God. In other words, it's not just the Bible, and I don't know, I should read it, and it's just to take that paradigm and go where that Proverbs writer goes. Wisdom, under nothing I desire can compare. There is a hunger, there is a treasure seeker as it relates to the Word of God. We got a whole kids program called Treasure Seekers, and that's what we're doing. We're esteeming the words of God like treasure. And so this morning, again, I just want to stir that up in us, that His words, these words that we have, it's a gift. I mean, there are people who died at the stake to give us the Bible in our own language that we can read it and understand it and know it. It's an amazing, blessed privilege to have it. So a relationship with words, specifically the Word of God. But let's take a look at how that relationship works. First of all, a witness with the Word, a relationship with the Word of God starts with a witness of truth, okay? And we can see through several scriptures the relationship between the Word of God and the Spirit of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Peter puts it this way, no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In other words, these words that we read are God-breathed. They're inspired by the Spirit of God. It's not something man thought up and ran the math and said, wow, that's profound, I'm going to write that. No, there's something of substance of the very Spirit of God that inspired the words that we're having a relationship with. Jesus then went on to say, in part of His parting words, He said, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. The Spirit of God, who inspired the Word of God, now lives on the inside of us. And so when we're talking about a relationship with the Word as Christians, as New Testament believers, the first experience that we could have with the Word of God, I'm just saying as a believer, is a what we call a witness of the truth. In other words, you can hear something, and when you're a Christian, this Bible takes on a whole different context. See, Jesus, before that, he said, the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth because it can't see Him with their eyes and they don't know Him. It's the Spirit of God in you that validates the authority of Scripture because it's a witness. You have the Holy Spirit and you have the author of the Bible who is the Holy Spirit. And it's the Spirit of God amening. So you can say something like, you know, if I was just to say something, you know, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. There's something in you that goes, amen, amen. Well, that's not coming from up here. There's a witness of the Spirit that says, that's true. That's true. Yes, amen. It's a deep calling unto deep. In fact, trying to explain your salvation in the assurance of your salvation that you're going to go to heaven when you die to somebody who doesn't know God can be a tricky thing. I mean, you can explain the theology of the gospel, but how do you really know? You know how you know? Because the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. I mean, you can articulate it to a level, but there's a bigger truth of a witness of truth that you get on the inside of you, that you know that you know that you know. You can't fully articulate that. You just know. Now, if they receive the Lord and get the Spirit of God, believe on the gospel, then there's things that you can fellowship and have common ground in. But that Spirit of truth has been put in us. And this is what is such a huge blessing, that these words that we have a relationship with are inspired by the one who lives on the inside of us. So he can help us. But it starts out, a relationship starts out with a witness. It gets your attention. It turns your head. You know, that's true. That's good. That's right. There is an attraction spiritually to something that's said because you know it's right. If you've never read Psalm 119, this is an amazing psalm that I like to go back to just stir up an excitement, a hunger, an appreciation for the Word of God. I've just taken a few verses from Psalm 119, and this is the biggest chapter in the entire Bible. I think it's 172 verses, but here's a couple of them. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. In other words, okay, the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that this book is inspired of God. I'm going to begin to hide that word in my heart. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Have you realized that? Living in one of these fallen mortal bodies, we have a body that fights us. We have to bring it under subjection. We have to offer it a living sacrifice. It's like the mortality of our body clings to dust. It's like gravity. But there's something that breaks gravity, the word of God. I'll tell you, you get your mind set on things above and it can break that flesh gravity, and the law of the spirit of life is like a law of lift and causes you to live above that law of sin and death. There's a power of the word of God that your soul clings to the dust, but you can be revived according to the word. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It has the ability to show you things to come. It has the ability to show you what the world looks like, what God looks like, the way the devil thinks, the way God thinks, and show you and educate you in the ways of understanding the world of the Spirit and God's ways. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Just a loving of the law, a baseline of truth that just lives in you by the word of God. Where you don't know everything, you can just discern, this is what he sounds like. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they won't follow. There's a relationship that you get with the Word of God that you not only know the theology of the Bible, but you know the voice behind the theology. You know his voice behind it. You know, I love that Jesus didn't say, my sheep would know my theology. He said, my sheep would know my voice. He would know the voice behind the Word of God. There's a relationship that you get with the Word of God that you know what he sounds like. And so there's this witness of the Word of God. I love when the Apostle Paul talks about the book of Acts talks about the Apostle Paul's second missionary journey. It said he didn't quite know where he was going. So he tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit forbade him. He tried to go to Asia Minor, but the Spirit forbade him. And then they got the revelation to go to Macedonia. You know, he was kind of feeling his way out, but there's a witness of truth, a witness of the Spirit of God. And the same Spirit that can witness and lead you and guide you witnesses to the truth of the Word of God. And it's like, wow, thank you, Lord. Your word is true. Now, I want to say this too, because so many times when we're talking about the Bible and getting into the Word of God, it starts out with just a witness that something is true. You don't necessarily know everything about it. You don't even necessarily know what you need to know about it. You just know that it's true. This is a great example, I think, of respect for the word that the Apostle Peter shows us while he's just a disciple at this point. And Jesus had just got done preaching the controversial sermon about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, okay? So the sermon is over. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, this is really a beautiful picture of humility and respect for Jesus and for the Word of God. Now, at this moment, at this point in time, I know that Peter would not have wanted to have to stand up and explain what Jesus meant by eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Very likely, he couldn't have expounded the spiritual allegory of all the intricacies of what that meant. All he knew is one thing, you have the words of eternal life. We're not going anywhere. Even though I can't stand up and explain everything you said, I know, I have the witness that you're the Son of God. Now, when you have a relationship with the Word, you're going to find things in the Bible that are like that. You can go, whoa. You're going to find some things in here that you wish weren't in here. Bump into some things about forgiveness and things. What? Whoa. Yeah, it's there. And even though there's a certain, there's a knowing that it's true. It's true. All right? What are we talking about? We're talking about a relationship with the Word, but it starts out as a simple witness. I just know that it's true. And I know that it's true enough, even though there might be parts of my history and my emotions and things that fight it, in me I know it's true. And what did Jesus say? If you continue in my Word. Now, before you can continue in the Word, you got to start with a witness. You got to start with hiding the Word of God in your heart. You got to start with hearing the Word. And so there is putting yourself out there to where you're hearing and getting the Word of God on the inside of you. But as we go from there, from the witness of the Word, it moves on to what we would call a revelation of reality. In other words, there's process. And this is what Jesus is talking about, that continuing in the Word, to where something happens with that Word. The Word in your heart and the Holy Spirit working together, things begin to open up to you. The Apostle Paul prayed this. He said, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power that works toward us who believe. You know, you can know something about hope of the calling and his riches of the inheritance in the saints and his power toward you. You can know something about it even in a theological manner. But he's saying, I'm praying that you get a spirit of wisdom in the revelation, in the knowledge of these things. You can know them in a two-dimensional theological way, but there is a revelation of things that puts that third dimension in there that makes it real to you in a way that you're ready to step out and walk out on the Word of God. There's a knowing. There's a continuing in that truth. And this is the thing, too, about just as believers and walking in the authority of the Word of God, is that when you read the Word of God, when you read the Bible, you read it, like, for example, I remember just feeling prompted in my heart about just reading the book of Galatians again. And it hadn't been that long, you know. I read it probably a few months ago, and then I just felt, I got to read that again. And I remember just sensing something about reading it again. And I remember the Lord showed me so much that the Bible, the way it's written, is the Bible is written in layers, very much the way a Disney movie is written, in layers. There's stuff that's action for the kids to laugh at. The guy slips on a banana peel and falls, and the kids laugh. And then he gets up and says something cynical that the parents get, and they laugh. You know, there's some things that are from different age levels. In other words, there's a movie that will appeal to a broad spectrum of ages the way it's written. The Bible is very much the same way, too. And as you're reading the Bible and you read it again, you might think, I read that there, but you read it there at that age, spiritually, when you had that understanding. What you don't realize is that you grow. Sometimes we'll do our little growth charts on the wall and go, oh, sure enough, you know, as kids are growing up, they grew a little. You don't feel yourself growing, you're just growing. Same spiritually. You're going through stuff, and then you read, Galatians again, or you read the Bible again, all of a sudden you're picking up different things. You know, when I'm reading the Bible as a newer believer, it's like just, I'm saying, okay, I'm just reading the parts God loves me, and he forgives me, and he cares about me, and all of a sudden you start talking about the glory of the riches, and it's like, just show me where that part where God loves me and God's for me, and, you know, I just don't get it. You know, I'm getting the milk of the Word, and that's good. But as you're growing up and you reread the Word, you get more stuff. You get things. You see things. There's a continuing. There's an unfolding. In other words, the Word of God is written that way, that you can get more and more and more as you continue to approach it. And you think, I've read this 100 times, and I never saw that before. Why do you see it now? Well, you have a certain maturity and understanding to where you're getting it, to where you have ears to hear. Remember, Jesus said, there's things I'd like to tell you, but you can't bear them now? We got to read the Bible again, because there's things we can bear now that we couldn't bear last year at this time. The Word is living. It's part of a relationship with this Word. So we see that. We see that about the Word. We see that quality about the Word. Here's another aspect, too, as it relates to our relationship with the Word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor who stands in the path of sinners, nor who sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates for 5 minutes. And he shall be like a tree planted. That was the drive-through translation. All right. And there is no drive-through translation, just so you know. All right. But he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of... in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, whose leaf also doesn't wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, I read this text. I love Psalm 1. I love coming back to it. It's a psalm that the Lord uses in my life in so many different ways. But you can look at this psalm, and you can be inspired and blessed by it in one sense. But in another sense, it can be a little intimidating. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Ah! We're talking about having a relationship with the Word of God, all right? And I want to say this, because sometimes I can feel like I'm just not doing enough. You just can never read the Word of enough. You can never read the Word of enough, and always kind of live under this dull cloud of condemnation that you're never quite doing enough with the Word of God. Psalm 1 guy didn't start out this way. This is a picture of the way the Psalm 1 guy got to. Look at what he does. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the path of the sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He just delights in the law, meditates. He's like a tree planted. Nobody starts out there. You don't start out as a tree planted. You start out as a seed planted. You start out with the seed of the Word. And yeah, your spiritual attention span may be 5 minutes. That's okay. It's going to grow. The tree is going to grow. Your spiritual attention span is going to grow. And those arguments, I mean, those are three arguments. The counsel of the ungodly, the path of the sinner, the pull in your body and the flesh, and the seed of the scornful, being critical and the bitter, you're just going to win all those arguments. You're not going to win all those arguments right away. You're going to go to the Word, and then all of a sudden, the seed of the scornful will take you back. Oh, wait, no. What does the Word of God say? Okay. If I'm going to overcome this seed of the scornful argument, I'm going to need to meditate in that Word a little bit more. My spiritual attention span might go from 5 minutes to 10 minutes. I'm going to get what the Word of God says. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking be put away from you. Let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but that which is good for necessary edification. There's a process. There's a relationship you're having with that Word. Like I said, there's some words you just, I wish it wasn't in there. It's there. It's right. It's good. It's healthy. I need this. And then all of a sudden it's like, yes, thank you, Lord, for that Word. That Word that I've been despising and running away from and trying to spiritually justify my way around, that's my deliverance right there. And that's the very thing that's going to conceive and give birth to freedom and deliverance. But there's a process as you're navigating the counsel of the ungodly that just seems so right. It's not fully lined up with the Word, but it just makes so much sense. And you bang your head up against that and it's like, yeah, the Bible's still the Word of God. I say it all the time. I believe the Bible's the Word of God. Been believing it for 40 years, but I believe it more today than I did last year at this time. I've believed it theologically, but my heart has seen it and known that it's true. So there is that aspect where you're growing and you're developing in that walk with the Lord. And then the Scripture puts it this way. The Word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. For the Word that God speaks is alive, this is amplified, is alive and full of power. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even to the dividing breath of life, soul, and immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging our very thoughts and purposes of our heart. The Word of God has the ability to do that. I'm so glad for the Word of God. Have you been there where your mind is in confusion and you just get that word from the Word of the Lord? I've known it. It's not even like a new word. I knew that. I forgot. Yeah, okay. It's the Word of God. That's true. The Word of God gets in between who you are in Christ and how you feel in your soul. It can get right in between there and say, I know you feel this way. And it'll talk to your spirit. It's like the Word, because you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're brand new. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. It's an amazing thing. Created in righteousness and true holiness. You are going to be presented holy and without blame and above reproach before Him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. That's how new you are. This is a truth that you're growing in. You're developing in. And you're getting it. I remember hearing a series on this. As the Word gets in between you, how you feel, and who you are. How you feel. Because if you don't have the Word there, then you begin to identify who you are based on how you feel. The Word gets in there and says, no, you're still a new creation. You're still a child of God. That's still who you are. And the Word doesn't change. It just stays right there. And we're just continually being then what? What happens to the mind here? The mind ends up getting transformed and getting renewed. And that's what the Bible says. Put on the new man. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so your mind catches up, is catching up with what God did on the inside of you. And there's process there in that. I remember the first time I heard somebody preach on the reality of the new creation and who you are in Christ. And I, you know, it's like a big 12-tape series, and just he was so loud and, you know, exuberant. And I thought, wow, the preacher's really excited about this one, you know. And but there was something about the truth. I just had to keep listening. We had cassette tapes back in the day. This is, for those of you who don't know what that is, but yeah, this was 1986, so 1986, and I'm just listening to these cassette tapes over and over again. It's like, wow, that's, and all of a sudden, because you think, you're a new creation, you go, oh, good, I feel good about myself. You know, that's good for about 5 minutes. But when you continue in that Word and you get the revelation, no, I really am a new creation. This isn't just hyperbole to make you feel good and to comfort you. It's a spiritual reality. And a preacher can't fully even do that. A preacher can kind of point to stuff. But when you continue in the Word and you let that Word get on the inside of you, and I remember I had been listening to that series for 6 months. And I remember just walking along, just feeling condemned about something that I did. And all of it, and I said out loud, I said, well, I guess that's just who I am. And I just heard the Spirit of God say, no. This is what happened. I just heard no. And there was like a little mini vision. If you ever had one of those, but it's just like I saw something, almost like a flash. And I could see myself. I could see the new creation. I could see the glory of the new creation. I mean, it was like glory. And he said, that's not who you are. He said, that thought came at you from the outside. You understand that? Satan roars at you from the outside. You're still a new creation on the inside. And I remember thinking, wow. And that just seared my heart. But, you know, it was 6 months of listening to the preacher and letting that get in me and letting the Word get in me. And then it was like, I was so blessed, not just by the fact that I realized I was a new creation. I was blessed by the power of the Word. You mean you can just continue in the Word, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and you can just stay with the Word? It made me want my 5-minute spiritual attention span to go to 10 minutes, and maybe 15 minutes, because I realized that if I continue in the Word, I know the truth. And this is personal. This isn't for preachers or prophets. It's for everybody. It's for every child of God to know who they are in Christ, to be able to continue in that Word, and let the reality of that Word grow up on the inside of them, and to see it, to know it. I'll tell you, that was one of the things that excited me about just the truth of God's word. Here's the Proverbs writer puts it this way. He says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. But I love that. You're already giving attention to his words. You're already inclining your ear to his sayings. You got them in front of your eyes. You got them in the midst of your heart. And if you keep doing that, eventually you're going to find them. This is like that treasure seeker analogy. You got the word of God, but you're looking for something. The word of God is going to show you something. You're going to find. Like I heard that I was a new creation, but I found that I was a new creation after about 6 months of just meditating and getting into that word of God. You find things. You know, you can find things in love. You can find things in forgiveness. Some of those scriptures you think about love are pretty amazing. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear because fear is torment. Those who fear haven't been made perfect in love. And you go, okay, wait now. All right, this isn't just a little comforting hyperbole. Really? You mean I can mature in love to where I'm not afraid anymore? I'm not there, but I'm telling you what. I'm charting my course. I see things in the Word of God that I'm continuing to grow in and develop in the Word of God. That's the way it's supposed to be. There's a relationship that you have with those words, and those words talk to you, and they speak to your heart. Man, and it's just, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit, a lot of times you'll say, I want a word from God. I'll tell you, a big way you get a word from God is the Holy Spirit reminds you of a scripture that you've already read and known. That's a word from God. He inspired that scripture, and he's reminding you that it's there. Praise God. And finally, simply what I'm calling a step of faith. There's another completion in this relationship that we have with words. We get a witness that it's true, that it's God. We continue in it. We let their spiritual attention span grow. We have arguments with the counsel of the ungodly, our own passions of the path of the sinner, the arguments of the seed of the scornful, which deal with the love walk, that are playing against the Word of God. I know the Word of God says this, but this says this. And you begin to overcome some different things and arguments. You begin to get established. But then there's another area a lot of times that God will call you to do, and that's a step of faith. He's going to have you do something as an expression of what you know and believe the Word of God has said. And this is where that relationship with words comes to a beautiful maturity. James puts it this way, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone's a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Praise God. I love this. There is something about this. I think of this a little bit like Peter stepping out of the boat. You know, if that's you, Lord, bid me come. And sometimes you get that, Lord, okay, if this is you, it could be forgiveness where you're going to do some kind of demonstration of love and grace that you would have never done before that word continued in you, that work, the work of the word on the inside of you. It could be something that God is calling you to do, to step out in, just as a living example of what's already in your heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and this is when you begin to do it. And I love what he says. He says, you know, he who continues in it is not a forgetful hearer. This one will be blessed in what he does. It's not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In other words, there's a point when it's almost like you're pregnant with this word, this truth, and it's like, I want expression, I want to do something, I want to give expression, I want your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. I want that expression in the earth. And as you get that heart to do something, God will show you something to do. And let me say this, no matter how much revelation you have on something, no matter how deep your revelation is on something, it can't take the place of doing what God has called you to do. There is a completion in the doing of it. This is how Peter puts it. He says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit in a sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. There is a purifying of your souls that comes in obeying the truth. In other words, it's like a completion of identity. I mean, you could be over here and you could say, okay, the Bible says to give. And you could be thinking about giving and the blessings of giving. And you give and God will give it unto you. And you seek first the kingdom of God. He'll add what he needs to you, the provision. And you can understand and even get revelations of how you've seen it work. But when you step over and actually give, then it's like it goes from giving is cool, giving is real, giving is right to I'm a giver. And there's an identity that comes through doing the Word of God that just is so deep. There's a purifying, it completes the identification. In other words, you can talk about identification and theologically knowing where you are identified, and it's important to know it, to get it, to do it in some way. There's expression in that. There are things that you can forgive. Being a new creation, there are things you can forgive that your flesh would never allow you to forgive. But you say, I'm a new creation. I can forgive, even as God in Christ has forgiven me. I am brand new. I'm seeing myself intentionally as a brand new person. And I'm doing things. I'm living. I'm loving. I'm walking by faith and not by sight. I'm giving glory to God. I'm doing it as a new creation because that's who I am in Christ Jesus. When you step over into the doing of the Word of God, man, powerful things begin to happen. That's where you begin to experience the fullness and the completion. That's where the Word begins to get in you and becomes expressed in and through your life. Jesus put it this way. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Now, this is an important distinction. He who has my commandments, all right, that's the witness and the revelation, and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And if anyone, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love and will manifest myself to him. Because I want to say just something about this fine line between knowing the Word of God and then doing the Word of God. It is a stepping off point. There is faith here. I don't care how well you know the Word of God or what kind of revelation you have on it, there's still going to be an element of faith in stepping out to do it. Now, he's talking about the commandment. He just got done giving him the commandment of love. We don't feel a lot of times like love. We don't feel, have feelings of forgiveness when we've been hurt or wounded. But Jesus talks about keeping his commandments. He says, when you keep my commandments, it is he who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. There's a promise over here that is for the keeping of the commandments. Now, God loved you while you were a sinner. But when you keep his commandments, there is a manifestation of the presence of his love. You experience something of his love in the keeping of his commandments. When you step out and do what he's called you to do, you experience that. In other words, he who loves me, okay, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Now, there have been times where I've actively loved God this way and times where I've not loved God this way. But this is where you begin to experience some things in the doing of the Word of God. You know, we think about salvation as far as love. Why do I love God today? Because he first loved me. But you know, that's not the only cycle. That's the first cycle. I love him because he first loves me. When I keep his commandments and love him, he loves me. There's an abiding in his love. Now, it's not that he doesn't love me over here. He always loves you, always for you. These things don't change, but there's a manifestation of his love. There is something you experience in the keeping of commandments as you experience his love. You can be over here and you can say, Father, I forgive him. When you look at what Jesus did here when he was in Gethsemane, it says he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. He said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. You can see where he I'm gonna obey your word, Father. And the scripture says, you know, then angels came and ministered to him. He took that stand. I love how Jesus understands that about us too. He understands what it's like to keep the commandments, to keep the word of God, even when your body and your flesh and your mind don't want to. There is that stepping off point. And I want to just say this because I want to be clear. You get revelation here. You can even get inspiration here. But there's going to be a step of faith here. You will never get so inspired, so much revelation, that there won't be an element of this is new territory. I haven't done this before. And it's uncomfortable, and it's unfamiliar, and Lord, here we go. That's a natural part of this place. That's where you experience the presence of God, though. That's where you experience him showing up in ways that he does when you love him in that way. He calls us to love. He calls us to love in a way that puts action to it. Finally, keep my commandments and live, and my laws, the apple of your eye. Bind them around your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you're my sister. Call understanding your nearest kin. Again, just the personification, keeping those commandments. There's a relationship with the Word of God that you develop, and there's maturities and there's levels of that relationship. The first one is just the witness. Hey, I know this is, I got the Spirit of God. I know that's the Word of God. That's God. From there, I'm going to continue in that word. I'm going to let that Psalm 1 attention span grow from 5 minutes to 10 minutes. I'm going to let that seed grow, get planted, built up in me. I'm going to get that word true in my heart, be like that tree planted, but ultimately I'm going to step out. I'm going to be a doer of the word, be a doer of what the word of God says. And this right here, even though this can be sometimes the most intimidating part in that you're doing something you haven't done before and you're doing it by faith, this is the most amazing part right here. This is where you experience God like you haven't experienced him before. Yeah, you're doing stuff you haven't done before, but you're experiencing God here like you've never experienced him before. He can cause you, he can put things, because when you're here, you're getting things to do in your spirit, and that's what you're going to step out and do here. So as you're growing, you're listening at the same time, and he's showing you stuff to do. But I'm saying you get a relationship with those words, and those words are everything. The power of those words are the heart of Jesus. It's who he is. That's why Jesus was so impressed when that centurion said, you know, I got a servant at home, and he's sick, and, you know, but I know you could heal him. And Jesus said, okay, I'll come to him. He said, no, you can stay here. You just say the word and it'll be done. And Jesus said, wow, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. Somebody who has a revelation of the authority of words. And that's what happens when you continue in it. And when the cool thing of it is, it's not a preacher. It's not people doing this. It's not finger wagging. It's a relationship that you get with the word of God. He gets your attention. He establishes a truth and a beauty and a reality, and then he'll call you to step out. And it's not like, that's what I believe. It's not just, this is what I believe. This is who I am. When you're doing what you believe, it is who you are. It just completes an identity cycle in you in a powerful way. And again, like I said, once you see that in one thing, once you've done the cycle in one way and you're free, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. When you experience that cycle, it's almost like cracking a code. Wow, the word really is true. That is right. All right, I can begin to trust him in other areas of my life. This works with whatever area of the word that I'm going to grow in, whatever area of the word that I'm going to develop a relationship with God in. Father, we thank you this morning that you've given us your word and that you've given us these words that we can know how to live, we can know what to believe, we can know your heart, Father, toward us. And I just pray, Lord, that you will just continue to work in us, Lord, just a sense of the Word of God, the truth of your Word. Lead us, guide us, Father, into areas of your Word to study, to read. I pray, Father, that you will just show us that things that we're learning about, things that we're growing in, that we will just sense the leading of your Spirit back to the Word of God, that we don't stay stuck in our soul, But there is a place in your word for that. There's a place in your word that can set us free in every area of our life. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you right now for leading and guiding us by the power of your word, by the power of your spirit, to know you, to know your word, Father, in an intimate way that we can be free. Show us, guide us into those plans, those steps that you have us to walk in, Father. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So again, like I kind of said at the beginning, my intention, agenda for a message like this is to stir up a culture of the Word of God. The Word of God is living. It is powerful. And this is where your personal relationship with Jesus is personal, because he'll take that word and he'll make it real to you. And there's just nothing like seeing that word jump out at you, seeing that word take on that third dimension and become real to you in such a powerful way. Amen. Praise God.